few weeks back, we had read a scripture about the anointing. And in one of John's epistles, he talked about the anointing which you have received. And I didn't really sense going into it quite to the extent at that time that I'd like to. But I'd sure like to start digging into that again today. The anointing that you have received, what is it? Who is it? And I remember we went back to Ezekiel's vision of the river that flowed from the gates of the temple. And that was a wonderful place to go back to, because when you saw what the river represented. So I'm going to start there again, because that's where we left off. That was in Ezekiel chapter 47. If you would come back there with me, please. It's a long portion of text, but I'm going to be selective and kind of highlight things out of it about the river. It's in Ezekiel chapter 47. And I'd like to start with verse 12 and look at some highlights of this particular vision. Of course, it starts in verse 1, but it talks about the depth of the river. I guess we'll have to go back to verse 4. See, we're going to get you back to the beginning eventually. But and this is with the angel. And again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. Verse 4. And the waters were to the knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The waters were to the loins. Afterward, he measured 1,000. And it was a river that I could not pass over. For the waters were risen. Waters to swim in. A river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were many trees on the one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that lives, which moves, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come there, for they shall be healed. And everything shall live where the river comes to. Verse 10, and it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from Engedi, even unto Engalahim. Forgive me if I've misspelled that or misspoke it, pronounced it. They shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, the Mediterranean, exceeding many. But the miry places thereof and the marshes thereof shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt. In verse 12, and by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat. whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for food or for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. So a few notes out of this portion. Number one, the river began by the altar in the temple and flowed outward under the door and toward the east. Well, the east is towards the sunrise, and one day Jesus is going to split the eastern sky, as the word says. The river brings healing and life everywhere it flows. Verse 8. Verse 9, fish caught in the nets of the fishermen. And I see prophetically this river as the living Holy Spirit that dwells in each believer. And the fish, Jesus talked about he would make us fishers of men. Or he told that to his disciples, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. So fish caught in the nets of the fishermen, I see that as souls being saved. And see and compare with what Jesus said to Peter and Andrew, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Another observation, there were trees on both sides of the river. They provided fruit for food and leaves for healing. Faith and I knew a ministry in Florida, and the name of their ministry was Healing Leaves Ministry. And this is one of the places that they got that name. Not only is there life in the river, but it brings life to everything that comes in contact with the river. And there's some great similarities from this vision to the present kingdom of God. And I've had written some differences or similarities that I saw. The river is the Holy Spirit. It starts at the altar because that's where the sacrificial lamb was killed. Just as the lamb was killed on the altar in the temple under the old covenant, so was Jesus slain on the altar, the cross, under the new covenant. He taught us that without his death there could be no life. He gave his life. He sent the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. John 14, verse 16, through Christ's sacrificial death and atonement for our sins, we now have the wonderful promise that God has declared us to be his temple, his dwelling place. And this is why I want you to see the similarity of the river coming out of the temple in the vision that Ezekiel had versus the river that is now flowing out of each believer, because now we're the temple that God made, and a temple that's not made with hands, a temple that's made by the heavenly one. The Lord himself has made us as the temple. And that river that flows out of each one of us is the life and ministry of the Holy Spirit. And the altar is our heart. When we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the Bible says our old sin nature died and was crucified with Christ. Romans 6, verses 6 through 13. And now we have this river of life flowing out of us. And as an old Pentecostal son, probably a lot of people remember, I've got a river of life flowing out from me, makes the lame to walk and the blind to see, opens prison doors, sets the captives free. I've got a river of life flowing out from me. And I know that song about the river. I keep seeing Ezekiel's vision of the river that the angel showed him. Very prophetic. And it is so in one and so in tune with that vision that he had. It's hard not to see that. And the door in Ezekiel's vision represents our mouth as Christians. And you're thinking, really? How could that be? Oh, let me show you. I'm so glad you asked. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 11. See if we can make a few connections here. This is just the introduction today, but it's good to start thinking about the anointing on a much broader scale than maybe just throwing that word around like, oh, that person's got a real anointing on them, and we use that word, but Boy, there's a lot of depth and power and meaning and understanding and revelation about that word that you'll, the next time you use it, or the next time you see it, or the next time you think about it, you're going to be inspired to, wow, there's a lot more to that. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 11. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. Now start connecting to the river, and the river being the Spirit, everywhere the Spirit flows, it brings life. And when we speak, we are the righteousness of God by Christ. He has made us righteous. He's declared us to be righteous. And when we speak, and naturally, of course, we learn the word and we begin to speak the word. And that word that comes out of us is a well of life. The words that we speak are words of life. They're words of healing. They're words of deliverance. They're words of hope. They're words of joy. They're words of peace. They're words of gladness. They're words of wisdom. They're words of knowledge. They're words that minister life and hope to people. Just like everywhere that river went, it brought life. You can go back and read it again and make this connection. And then it says, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. We cannot really put a whole lot of stock in the word of unsaved people because they don't have the capability yet to speak these words without the Holy Spirit. And so we shouldn't try to hold them wrongly to our standard because it's impossible. And give them more grace. It's nothing wrong with the river being there in their presence because that's the river eventually that's going to woo them and draw them to the fruit on the trees and fruit in the kingdom. John chapter 4, verse 14. Jesus is speaking here. But whosoever, how many whosoevers do we have in the house? Your new identity. You're a whosoever. But it says, whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And think about that river now, the Spirit again, that flowed out of the temple. Now think about the river that flows out of you as the temple. And it's really quite easy to kind of make that connection now, even though they're many, many pages apart and many hundreds of years apart from the time Ezekiel had that vision until the new covenant came and Jesus became the sacrificial lamb. In Proverbs 4:20, back to Proverbs briefly, just for today. Proverbs chapter 4 and verses 20 through 23. Well, I'm going to throw 24 in as a bonus because you stayed a long time today. No charge for that. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Now this is the Father's words in us. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all of their flesh. Now I want to keep reminding you about the river, but also the river of the Holy Spirit, the life of the Spirit in the life of a believer. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And then he says, put away from you a froward mouth and perverse lips put far from you. I would basically sum that up as we learn our new vocabulary as believers, don't use the old language so much that we had before we were saved, because it's most a lot of it is very contrary to the Word of God that we have now, that is spoken under the anointing or the leading of the Holy Spirit. Whenever we speak the Word now, it's we're releasing that river of life to the hearers. So we're to guard our hearts. Out of it flow the issues of life. That's when you think of your natural heart. We don't generally live too long with heart failure. A couple minutes maybe 3 minutes. Toast. But think about the new heart you have. It's where the Spirit resides. It's in the heart of man. That's where the life is. And that river starts there. It starts from the heart. And it comes out of us as the temple. When we speak His Word, we're releasing those things. And I'm going to have a new section here, the power of the anointing, that I'd like to potentially share next week, because this is a nice place to break that. But I started today to keep you thinking about the river, and maybe go back and read that again a few times, so that when we come back together next week, we can start looking a little more at the marvelous thing that the Lord has done, and what He's given us, and the power factor that resides in us, just waiting to be turned loose. We'll be looking at things that what hinder it, what enhance it, things like that, so that when you see that word again, I think that you probably have a little room to add a little more to the knowledge that you have. And when I use the word anointing too, I also think of something being poured on, like when you anoint people with oil. And even in India, some of those really deep forest areas, I was amazed to find that these really, especially the elderly, they knew all about anointing with oil. And yet I didn't find a person that prayed for anybody when I first started going there. Not even Pastor Sherrard, he hadn't. They never did, because they didn't know it was God's will. So they just didn't. But some of the real elderly knew about anointing with oil, because when I wanted to go there and pray for them, some of them brought their own packets of oil and asked me, would I anoint the oil before I prayed with the oil for them. And I thought that was an amazing discovery. It was like they discovered something way in their distant past when it came to healing. And so it's kind of connected to the river, isn't it? Did you read how everything got healed when it came in contact with the river, even in Ezekiel's vision? It left the salt water where it was salt. Now, I know when the Bible refers to the Great Sea, that's the Mediterranean. But if you go east from that temple, would that be the Dead Sea? Because there was a reference to salt water. Yes, I thought perhaps. When everything was dead there, but it's such a contrast, the Spirit of Life versus the salt sea where nothing could live there. And people float in it because it's so much salt water in it. It's like it's very easy to float in it. I'd like to go try it sometime. I know people that went and tried it, and they don't even have to move their arms. They can just lay in it and just float in it. It's pretty cool.